getting folks to do something about climate change is very difficult. And that's why I have the current guest in the studio, and that's Rich Fisher. Hey, Rich, didn't I see your entourage? Are they here? Oh, okay.
My entourage is my daughter and her boyfriend, Austin.
Oh, okay. What's your daughter's name?
Carson.
All right. I mean, you name Austin, but you got to get Carson's name out there, too, you know.
I figure she knows everybody already.
And is she tweeting away right now to let folks know that she's on the show? Is that it?
She's actually studying environmental science at Northwestern, so she thought this would be a perfect opportunity to see how it works.
Oh, fantastic.
Carson, slide over to the microphone.
Oh, gosh.
Get over there. Sit down.
Hi.
Environmental science at Northwestern.
Yes.
So
how that goes.
No, don't just see how it goes. We need people like you. We need people who are interested in the environment and how to fix it. What's your take on the march next week in D.C.?
I actually had no idea about it, and I was just trying to convince a couple of my friends to go to the one in Chicago because we're from Northwestern, so it's a CTA right away.
Yeah, exactly.
At most.
And why wouldn't you go down to Grant Park?
And, like, I feel like colleges are such a large base of people to get to go. It just, nobody has heard anything about it. And especially being in so many environmental classes, I would have feel like we would have heard something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully now you can change that.
Yeah.
And you can start the conversation.
Yeah, so definitely.
In environmental studies, what's the curriculum look like?
We actually just read Earth from McKibben.
Oh, McKibben.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And we read Hot from Hertzgard. So basically, I mean, I am a freshman, so this is my second quarter there.
Mm-hmm.
But we've just been reading a lot of the material and gathering as much information as we can for the past couple months. I don't know.
Well, no, you got to start someplace.
Exactly.
Well, it's good to
it's
hear
exposure.
That's yeah. Okay. Well, fabulous. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
I expect you to save the planet. Okay. Single-handedly,
we'll see.
If you need to.
Ready, set, go.
Right.
I got it.
Next to her is her dad, Rich Fisher, who's chief sustainability officer with Evolve Recycling. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
It's great to have you on the program, and you know you're one of the people who I hope is part of the solution to what's going on. Now, I have a gift for you. I brought this from home.
Oh, great!
It is my laser printer toner cartridge that ran out, and I don't throw them away. Obviously,
good.
I believe the last time I took it to the store where I bought it, they gave me like a $3 credit or something like that. I don't remember what it was.
We probably gave you the $3 credit in the end.
Okay. All right.
Through somebody else.
Explain how that works.
Okay. Well, Evolve Recycling is actually a division of Clover Remanufacturing. And what we do is we make all the remanufactured laser and inkjet cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
And as remanufacturing, as you probably know, uses a lot less energy, a lot less materials. There's a lot less attendant pollution. And a big part of creating that ecosystem is making sure that you're recycling the cartridges that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so our Evolve Recycling Division is set up to make sure that cartridges don't wind up in landfills, but that we give an outlet for everybody to put the cartridge somewhere else who maybe doesn't have a store to go to or doesn't know about the programs or threw out the box that the cartridge came in and doesn't have the return little envelope that they put in it. So we try and create an incentive by paying people money to return their cartridges to us.
And can an individual do this, or does it have to be an organization or a company? How does it work?
Individuals can do it. I think, you know, for an individual, it may be more convenient to take it back to one of the store programs. But
Do you list your stores on the website? And, you know, how would somebody know about which store to go to?
If you were to go on our website, we would give you the simplest way to do it, which is we would allow you to print off a return label and that you could just use right away and postage-free send it to us. That's the simplest thing. That way you don't have to go any further than your mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the we also have drop-off centers at, I want to say, 4,000 or 5,000 of the U.S. Post Office locations. We are their collector of cartridges for them, along with small electronics.
Yeah, but the Post Office, you know, they're going to be shutting that down any day now.
Just on Saturdays.
There's another good reason to have post offices.
Yes.
And if they're being part of the solution. So this insane attempt to shut down our postal service, which is really what it is. It's thinly disguised. It's basically bust the union and put those people out of work and then shut down and then privatize, I guess, you know. But I don't want to get on that tangent. I want to talk about what Evolve is doing. You know, I was amazed to find out that more than 500 million inkjet cartridges and 70 million laser cartridges, and I just handed you a laser cartridge, are sold in the U.S. annually. Every year, more than 400 million cartridges with a combined weight of 200 million pounds are put where? Into the landfills.
Yeah.
Yikes. 13 ink cartridges are thrown away every second in the United States.
It's a ridiculous number when you look at the scale of it. It really is.
A laser cartridge thrown into a landfill can take up to 450 years to decompose. Some components made of industrial-grade plastics will take more than 1,000 years to decompose.
Now, we make sure that no cartridge, working or not, ever winds up back in a landfill. The cartridges that are usable or repairable go into our remanufacturing operation, but those that are not, we actually have ground up and made into plastic pellets, and they become plastic for new items like clamshells for calculators or staplers, office desktop trays. So we keep all the plastic that comes into our possession out of a landfill.
But your goal is not to grind the plastic, but to reuse it.
We use as much as we can. We hit at least 90%. From most sources, because yes, that's a higher and better use for us. I mean, the EPA, as you probably know, sort of has a hierarchy for the life cycle of products, and reuse is much better than recycling because the reuse allows further useful life, less pollution, keeps it completely out of a landfill.
Now, I love the concept. I mentioned it in the first hour of Big Ink and Toner. You guys, now, did you hire Jeffrey Hazlett to do a talk about you?
We did. We met him, and you know, as you know, he used to be the chief marketing officer for Kodak, and he has formulated sort of a point of view on the economics of Big Ink and Toner and how the revenue stream that provides for the what we call the OEMs, the original equipment manufacturers, it just sort of its high social costs. And mm-hmm. so he was really, really happy to do a short 4-minute internet piece for
and
us.
And I've got the link to it. In fact, if you go to my home page, MikeNovak.net, you'll see the picture of Jeffrey Hazlett there. And let me play just a little bit of that, because it's actually pretty funny.
Oh, hi there. I'm Jeffrey Hazlett, best-selling author, business expert, and previously the chief marketing officer at a little company called Kodak. While there, I helped grow market share for our printers by exposing the shenanigans of the big boys playing in the space, the companies I call Big Ink and Toner. They've got some very interesting ways to keep charging you too much for their toner and inkjet cartridges. And one of those ways has to do with those used-up cartridges they want you to send back to them. See, instead of reusing them, they just destroy them. Send them to that big wood chipper in the sky. Pretty much like what I just did with that mug. I mean, you wouldn't toss out a mug when it could just go into the dishwasher, right? You wouldn't just grind it up into bits to be melted down and made into another mug, right? I mean, that's crazy. Well, Big Ink and Toner claims to have a perfectly good reason for destroying perfectly reusable cartridges. They'll tell you it's all about quality, that remanufactured cartridges don't perform as well as brand new cartridges.
And then he goes on and on and on, and of course he at one point starts talking about Evolve and what you guys are doing. So is that it must be really true that the big ink and toner guys have a different model for what they're doing. Yours is bring us the cartridge and we will try to reuse it and we'll give you money for it. Now, who else is doing that? Because as Jeffrey points out, the big ink and toner guys, they'll give you a credit. You go into one of those big stores and they give you credit towards purchase of another. But your idea is, I assume, that people like cash a lot better.
Yes. Our program is richer for the consumer than the various programs that the OEMs have. Mostly, I think, because the OEMs are doing it for a different purpose.
OEM?
The original equipment manufacturer. People behind the stores.
Just make sure everybody's up to speed here.
I mean, it's not really the stores that are paying for it in the end, right?
Right.
It's somebody behind them who's going to use the cartridge.
Right.
The stores are just kind of the conduit. Our model is a closed loop. What we want to do is we want to keep the cartridges in the manufacturing cycle. A remanufactured laser or inkjet cartridge costs 20% less than a brand new one and performs just as well. The pages are just as crisp. You get just as many pages out of the cartridge. We have it all third-party tested, so you don't have to take our word for it. And for the OEMs, I think that's a real threat because when you think about it, if you're watching the pocketbook and you care about the environment, why would you go and buy a new cartridge that's going to cost you more and that is going to have a bigger impact on the environment than a remanufactured cartridge?
And, this is the thing that all of us who have printers at home have been complaining about for, 15 years or so. It's the scam that the ink cartridge lasts, you print 7 or 8 pages and then you're buying another one, which it's almost cheaper to buy another printer than it is the cartridges. That's where the money is.
It's the razor and the blades, right? That's the old model.
Yeah.
I agree.
So how is it you can afford to do this?
Well, a remanufacturing process is a lot less
expensive. Wouldn't everybody do it if it were as profitable as you seem to think it is?
Well, you have to have something you can do with the cartridge, and we are a remanufacturer. We're a global remanufacturer, and we remanufacture millions and millions of cartridges a year. So we have an economic purpose we can put it to. So we can take that cartridge, and we put it into our remanufacturing operations. We take it apart. We make sure everything's working. We replace any parts that need replacing, and then we fill it back up with toner or ink, and seal it back up, and out it goes as a remanufactured printer cartridge.
But aren't a lot of those cartridges, I'm looking at the laser. Now, that's pretty intricate. And frankly, I have an inkjet machine, and I have a laser. Why? Because I can print black and white a lot cheaper than I can color. And I love my laser jet printer because it cranks out stuff, and when I do talks, I do handouts, and I can print them myself. I can do double side, and try to do that at a Kinko's or something, and you'll go broke.
That's true.
And at home, that is a really great way to go. But I look at that cartridge, and it's got a lot of moving parts. That's a pretty fancy schmancy cartridge.
We have very intricate remanufacturing operations. We have facilities with a couple thousand people in them, and all they do is remanufacture laser jet cartridges. Our inkjet manufacturing is largely automated now. A lot of it's done by robots. It is a true manufacturing operation.
That's interesting because that was actually where I was headed with the question. Is I can understand taking apart the laser cartridge like that, and I can see that. But those ink jet cartridges they look like they're just molded. And how do you mess with that?
You actually do a precision cut along one of the seams.
Open
it up that way. Depends on the model. In some cases you can pop them, but most of the time you're making some cuts and then you're just fusing them back together when you're done. But the robotic cages that they're done in are it's just amazing.
So, and by the way, that we're talking to Rich Fisher. He's a Chief Sustainability Officer with Evolve Recycling, and you can go to their website. I've got that on my website. If you go to MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show. All the information is there. But if they want to go straight to the website, Rich, where would they go?
They would go to EvolveRecycling.com.
Which makes total sense.
It does.
So what else? You recycle cartridges. Is that it? You also have small
electronics. We do small electronics and cell phones. The cell phone ecosystem isn't that different than the cartridges. A lot of times, people don't think about their cell phone after they hand it over the counter to whoever they're trading it into for a new one. But there is a whole ecosystem behind that, and that cell phone also has a long, useful life ahead of it if you can just sort of get it into that repair, refurbishment, remanufacturing cycle.
I have an email that just came in from Bob, who's one of my faithful listeners, who's got a home out in Ottawa. And he said, home of Clover Technologies.
Yes, home of Clover Technologies.
Which is your parent company.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. I first became aware of Clover several years ago when I was wearing my other hat as president of the Chicago Recycling Coalition. And you guys were doing something with the post office.
Yes, yes, and we've expanded that program.
Let's talk about that.
Sure. As I think I mentioned earlier, we provide receptacles for people to deposit their used ink and toner cartridges. We also take small electronics and cell phones. And for people who find themselves in the post office and learn about it but don't have the item with them, there's actually a little bag with a label that you can take right there off the display and take it home and mail it direct. And the U.S. Post Office takes care of it for you.
I remember being really impressed by that. Thought that was a really great way to go, and glad to see that grown over the years.
Yes, the program, we just expanded it into sort of a relaunch expansion, if you will, with the electronics and with this option of either dropping it there or taking the label in the bag and mailing it in later. So they just relaunched it, I want to say, 3 or 4 months ago.
So what's next? I mean, take over the world, is that it? I'm impressed by what you're doing so far, but I imagine you need to evolve, to coin a phrase.
Well, we do. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity. As you mentioned, there are an awful lot of cartridges that go into landfills, so we think that that these are probably pretty much fertile fields for us to farm for a while, because there's so much opportunity to divert those cartridges back into a useful life. But the same process of finding something that has a useful life left and sort of putting it back into the manufacturing ecosystem is something you can do with a wide range of products. You know, it happens in the world today with auto parts. It happens with inkjets, and it happens the whole range of small electronics. I think as tablets become more popular, we're going to start seeing it with those too, the iPads and the Kindles and the Galaxies and all those things.
You're going to need to refurbish those as well.
These are expensive items that people make investments in, and so these things clearly have economic value that's ongoing, even after somebody has sort of said, well, I want to trade this in for the newest and the greatest.
So you take these products and refurbish them, then where does it go there? I mean, when you do renew a cartridge, does it sell for less the second time around, or the same price, or what?
If you were to, it's about 20% less. Our products are in all what we call the big box office retailers. So
the average customer doesn't know it came from Evolve.
No, they don't know it came from Evolve. In a lot of cases, they don't know it came from Clover. And some, you know, we have our own proprietary brands, but then there are some customers who would like us to put it out under their brand so that they can sort of show that they have an environmentally responsible option. So it sort of depends what the channel is, whether it's a Clover brand that we put out or it's a private label brand.
So my question would be, and it may be a dumb question, what's the point of having a public image? You know, if you just do it, I mean, aside from the fact that people can return the toners, cartridges, and get some cash for it, I mean, it all seems to be kind of behind the scenes.
It's behind the scenes for some of the bigger big box retailers, but there's an awful lot of sales that occur after that. And quite frankly, you need to raise the profile in order to get the consumer to understand what the value is of the product. You know, the remanufactured inkjet and laser cartridges, they sort of first caught the public's fancy, not necessarily because of the price differential, but because of the environmental characteristics. And that's sort of what made it catch on, because I think initially people needed to understand that these items perform as well as the originals. And in order to give people a reason to try it, we wanted to get the message out about how environmentally superior they are. Mm-hmm. Now they're just sort of an accepted part of people's worlds, and there's a tremendous number of customers out there who have a preference for them, for price and the environmental characteristics.
The environmental characteristic being that you can reuse it and refill it.
Well, the environment, yeah, because when you make a new cartridge. When a company makes a brand new cartridge, they have to mold the plastic. The energy costs and the pollution costs and the material costs are two or three times that involved in creating a remanufactured cartridge. So environmentally, there's much less of a footprint left by making a remanufactured cartridge, plus you're keeping it out of the landfill.
All right. Let us in on the little secret. Come on. It's just you and me. Nobody else is listening, okay?
That's my fear.
Yeah. believe me, it's mine, too.
Yeah, okay.
I'll have you know, I told my team, my website had 1.25 million hits last year.
Wow.
There we go.
Yeah. Just so you know. So
That's really good.
There's a couple of people paying attention.
Definitely.
It's really nice to know. And it's different from radio. And as Norman Goldman always talks about, it's not just radio anymore. It's how you integrate all of the media. And, it's Sarah Batka sitting here tweeting away about you. And do you have a Twitter symbol?
They're Evolve Recycling.
Okay.
Who would have thunk?
Really? You guys, I like your message. It's nice and clean. And Lisa is on Facebook and putting the stuff up right there. And that's, this is a 21st century.
Yes.
And how this works. And you guys know this. But the dirty little secret is, why does ink cost so darn much? My feeling is it's like gasoline, that all the products are basically the same, and then they just put them all, and then they mark up like crazy.
The markup on the new materials are tremendous, and the way I try and explain it is that all of the big ink and toner manufacturers, they're on a journey, because if you look at their earnings and you look at their histories, their legacy businesses, which were all the printers, just kind of falling apart. The demand's gone way down.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah. And, well, I think there's a lot of printers out there, and the innovations, quite frankly, in the printers aren't leading people to want to put down the big bucks for a new printer every 18 or 36 months. People now see that sort of as more of a utility. It's something you have to have, but you don't want to spend any more money on it than you need to. And most of the functionalities in printers that people want are there. So the printer businesses are going to hell in a handbasket. All the OEMs are losing billions and billions of dollars. Some of them are shutting them down. Some of them are talking about splitting their companies and divesting. And a lot of them are saying, who are we going to be in the future? And in the future, they're not sure, but they describe it as, well, we're going to provide on-demand services in the cloud, this and that, connect people. They're trying to figure it out. Well, the revenue streams that they need to get from the old world, the old model, which doesn't work anymore, to that new place they're going to that they quite haven't figured out yet, that revenue stream is the inkjet and the laser cartridges that they sell. So that's why they're so high, because they need those revenue streams to sort of support the company as they make the journey. Not good for the consumer, I don't think.
No, it's terrible for the consumer, and it makes the consumer cynical. It makes the consumer angry.
Yes.
That these things run out so fast and they cost so much money. I think you're right. I think that the result of that is the market share drops.
Yeah.
This is one way, I guess, to reverse that trend.
Yeah, I think it's one way to personally throw off the yoke in everybody's individual life and to make a contribution to the greater good.
That is Rich Fisher. He is with Evolve Recycling. Rich, you mind taking a phone question? By the way, the number is 773-763-9278. And let us go to line one. Dan from Chicago, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Rich. I have a couple of questions, but the first one is, are you aware, I saw a on the YouTube, I saw a Russian computer scientist who was interested in why printers stop working after a certain amount of time, and documented his search over the months and years to find it, and he finally located a chip that was put in that basically shuts down a printer after a certain number of uses. And then of course it fits into the whole science of planned obsolescence. Have you been aware of anything like that for a possible investigation in terms of getting printers to keep working longer?
I have not heard that before, but obviously, we're all painfully aware of planned obsolescence in a whole bunch of categories, be it our printers or our cars.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a great thing to be able to come in and extract that chip somehow. Anyway, I'll try to find that link if I can. I probably made a note of it somewhere, and I'll be sure to send it to you. And another question is, what's your existing strategy of letting people know about where your locations are? Because I know people who are avid recyclers and are just driven crazy by the piles of stuff that build up that they don't know where to deliver it, even in a city like Highland Park, where they're working on it. The word just hasn't gotten out yet. Do you have ideas about that?
I do. I mean, generally, I would send you to our website because you can find the full range of options for recycling items there.
Okay.
But more generically, as I've mentioned, the post office, also schools. There is an organization out there called the Funding Factory that does wonderful work allowing teachers to generate dollars that they can use for extra items in their classroom. And it is largely underwritten by the recycling of items, including laser cartridges and inkjet cartridges. And we're behind that. So schools usually love to take donations of these items.
All right, Dan, I got to let you go. Suddenly the phone's lit up. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. 773-763-9278. Let us go to Pat in Chicago. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hi. I have a question regarding the cartridges. I've had two inkjet printers, and some are not good, but no matter which one, you get the note that they can't tell when it's empty because it's been a remanufactured cartridge.
Did you catch that? Because you broke up a little bit there.
I did. It's actually a topic we talk about a lot, which is the chip messaging that the original manufacturers put into the computers around the cartridges. You know, it's funny because one of the topics we talk about is not so much the message that they're not going to be able to tell you whether the cartridge is empty or not, but we talk about the messages that you get from the OEM printer cartridges that tell you go out and you need to go out and get a new one when perhaps as much as 20% of the ink is still in that cartridge. It's sort of the cat and mouse game that goes on between remanufacturers and manufacturers. Manufacturers are scared to death that people will figure out that the remanufactured product is a superior alternative, so they try and create obstacles and impressions to people adopting them. And one of those is to put some messaging on a chip that says, hey, I've got a remanufactured cartridge in me right now. What can I do? Well, I guess I can tell them that I won't be able to tell them when it's empty. That's their best shot.
Well, the problem is, it stops you from printing. You have to go back and say, okay. So it's annoying, but you know what? It's worth the price.
but you can overcome that.
Yes, you actually can. We work very hard, actually, to put chip interfaces in that eliminate those problems. That's part of the cat and mouse. You may have a printer that is sort of where they've got a new chip that does that, and we're still developing the chip that makes sure that you don't get a misleading message like that.
That's an excellent question, Pat. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Have a great Sunday.
Thanks.
Let's go to line three, and Benita in Skokie, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I'm pretty near to purchasing a computer and a printer, and I want to know if you can tell me what is the best, as far as ecology goes, and recycling that I can purchase.
I do not know the answer to that. And I apologize, but I actually am not up on the various benefits environmentally of the various printers that are out there.
You know, that's an excellent question, Benita, and I don't know the answer to that either. I'd welcome my listeners shooting me a Facebook post or a tweet or an email, mike@mikenovak.net. You know, it's hard to choose, Benita. I will tell you from my own experience, Kathleen and I got a printer that we researched, went online, and got the, it said this is a great little printer for the price and blah, 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 and we've been really unhappy with it, you know,
because?
and it cost a fortune for the ink. You know, and that makes me crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I've got all these, by the way, I've got all, you know, these, I never throw them out. So I got boxes full of cartridges in the house ready to go to someplace, and I should take them to you guys.
We'll find a way to pick them up from you for you. We're happy to do that.
I'd love that. Yes, Benita.
I'm pretty sure in Skokie I can take the computers to the recycling bank that we have here. I mean, Skokie has a good recycling bank, and I have a fax that's got a carbon printer, and when the carbon runs out, I just put it in the recycling bin that we have here in Skokie.
Well, that actually raises a really good question. I'm going to let you go, Benita, but it raises a question that I want to ask Rich, and that is when people like Benita take a cartridge and they drop it in one of those recycling bins, is it being recycled properly? How do you know that it gets to be remanufactured versus ground up?
You don't. You basically have to do a little bit of investigation of who you're leaving it with. If it's going to a recycling source, I think you would hope that it would not wind up in a landfill. But in terms of whether it simply gets ground up and then turned into pellets for a new item, which is an okay option, quite frankly, as opposed to going to a landfill, or whether it's sort of getting the better, the superior option of actually being reused, you have to investigate a little bit who's behind the recycling program.
Let's take one more call, and John in Zion, you're on the air. How you doing?
Okay, thanks for letting me talk to you guys. A question about the turning in the old cartridges at the post office and stuff. Can you put more than one or two cartridges into the package for recycling?
I am not sure how many cartridges each bag holds, but since you're at the post office, you can just simply take more than one bag if you need to. And we actually have receptacles there to deposit them, and they sort of get consolidated in the back until there's enough for us to come do a pickup. So you
okay.
can absolutely bring as many as you have.
Yeah. Do you happen to have them way up on the Illinois-Wisconsin border? I'm in Zion.
You know, I believe that they are up by you because I think they're in all the MSAs. So, yes, I think you should be able to find
I never looked for it because I have a HP, and I ended up putting a brand-new cartridge in it, and I only shot out 5 pages for black copy, and they said the cartridge was empty. So I knew that that cartridge wasn't completely filled, so I ended up calling the manufacturer, and they tried blaming it onto the printer. I ended up slapping another new one in there, and they kept on saying it's a printer. You got to take it's out of warranty and blah, blah, blah. So I found out that the cartridge was not completely filled at the factory.
Well, that happens, but if it's the same folks making the printer and the cartridge, you think they'd take responsibility for it?
Yeah, they kept on just.
You think they would?
Right.
I don't know.
And, you know, each cartridge is, you know, like $45.
I know. It's outrageous. It's just.
Well, they're so tiny.
The scam of our times, I believe it is. Great question, John. Thank you. Here's what I'm going to do, John. I'm going to have. It leads into my next question. So I appreciate you calling. And the question is, how do we. Rich, how do we get a list of places, drop-off places for you guys?
I think we can provide that to you. We can sort of give it to you after the show, and you can put it up on your website if you'd like. We can have our folks put together a link. I don't have a custom list on my handheld right here to shoot you.
I know, because you've obviously hit a nerve. Look at those the phone calls that come in, and people have very strong opinions about this, and they want to do the right thing. And they want to reuse these cartridges.
We will absolutely help facilitate that.
So would you shoot that to me, and I will make sure that I get it posted on all my throughout my empire.
We'd be delighted to. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio. That is Rich Fisher, Chief Sustainability Officer with Evolve Recycling. And thanks to Carson for being the new wave.
That's right.
Of people who are studying this and trying to do the right thing. So I appreciate having you both on.
Thank you.
And we will talk in the future, okay?
I'd like that.
All right, great.